All right, open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18. Well, verse 17. It says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." I have run into a lot of eloquent speaking people that use a lot of big, long words, and they go to theology school where sometimes they spend 10, 12 years in these places. Learning theology. And in fact, one time I was around a whole bunch of Muslims and I was witnessing to them. Everybody else was up in arms against them, and I went and asked this little prophetess, this little lady, she was a powerful woman of God, and I asked her, I said, "What are we supposed to do?" She said, "You're supposed to get them saved." I said, "Oh." So I was over there witnessing to them and telling them about Jesus. And I ran into this one, and I started talking to him, and he said, "Oh, hold on. I went through 12 years of seminary. And I sat under one of the biggest churches, you know, on the East Coast." He said he was under a powerful pastor on the East Coast. And he told me all about it, and I thought, you went through all that, and you picked up the Muslim faith. Then I started understanding what a little more a little later on when the guy that ordained me went to preach at a pastor's conference, and he ended up getting 30 pastors born again. See, there's churchgoers, and there's Christians. They're not the same. There's people that can sit in church for 30 years and not get born again. In fact, my friend went to preach at a big denominational church one time, and he was getting ready for his sermon, and the head pastor come back there and said, "We do not preach salvation here." See, they found the power of the cross to be foolishness to them, but unto us it's salvation. It's the power of God. Now you can understand why the world just throws churches all in one group. You know, we're all just in one happy little basket. But they don't understand that there's the church and there's the churchgoers. The churchgoers are the ones that are coming up with the ideas that it's okay to have gay pastors and gay marriages. You know, they're the ones that come up with the idea that it's okay to have abortions. Those are churchgoers. Those are not the church. It's important to understand the difference. But I want you to understand something. Go down to verse 26. Well, verse 25 says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weaknesses of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, has God chosen, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that everybody, if they're going to glory on anything, they're going to glory in the Lord. You're going to realize at some point the things that people have called foolish, they're going to be drawn to it because they're going to understand that maybe this guy's preaching the gospel and not tradition. When trouble hits, you're going to need to be grounded in the gospel, not in some church tradition, not in some church habit. I run into these people all the time. When trouble comes, they start looking for somebody to help them. And their church tradition, their pastor, doesn't have an answer. That's a shame. When somebody spends their whole life sitting in church and they haven't found the answer. The answer is the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you ever run into a teaching, I don't care how eloquent this teaching may be, if you ever run into a teaching that doesn't lead to Jesus Christ and him crucified, go away. Just step away from that teaching. Step away from whoever's saying those words, because it's not something that you need to be listening to. Remember, Jesus said to take heed how you hear. You really do need to pay attention to what you're listening to, and you need to pay attention to how you're listening to it. See, it's real easy for us to put a preaching sermon on and have that playing in the background while we're doing our daily chores or whatever it is we may be doing, you know, doing our work, but we got the CD going on. But are we really paying attention? Are we really paying attention to how we're hearing? Because people will say almost anything from behind the pulpit. Some of the stuff I've heard people say from behind the pulpit, I just thought, my gosh, that's a mean thing to say about my Jesus. I actually seen one pastor say, and this guy didn't know, he didn't obviously know God, and he knew nothing about sheep and sheep herders. He said, sheep are stupid. They just follow the trail. They don't, if we get off the trail, they'll just go, and if they get off the trail, then the shepherd will have to go there and break its leg to make it stay on the trail. I thought, I've been around sheep all my life, and I never heard of a sheep herder ever breaking a leg on a sheep to teach it a lesson. God will not break a leg on you to teach you a lesson. He will not give you sickness to teach you a lesson. He will not give you poverty to teach you a lesson. That's not the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And absolutely everything that happened in that sacrifice. You know, for poverty, he gave you wealth. For sickness, he gave you health. For fear, he gave you faith. You were lost until you got born again, and he became your shepherd. You belonged to Satan until you got born again, and now you belong to God. Our job is to open up this thing and find out who Jesus is and find out who he is to us. Find out what he's given us. Verse 30 says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Right there. All of that is wrapped up in the person of Jesus. And we're in him. And he's in you. See, we're all just mingled together. So when you get born again, you become the body of Christ. You become the church. And if the Christians around the world would get a revelation of this, understanding the body of Christ, we'd probably lose 2,000 or 3,000 different denominations. We'd start being the church instead of this or that, or I'm a this and I'm a that. We'd start being the body of Christ. Might actually come into agreement on some things and get something done in this world. That's the wisdom of God. You know, all these different denominations are nothing more than a split, a division, the spirit of division caused that. Because the devil knows that if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. What that means is that if two people come together, they can put 10,000 to flight. That means he has to get in there and cause a division between the two so that they're not in agreement. The spirit of division is so active in the church world that it just frustrates me to no end, because people will find some stupid little thing to not come into agreement. They might agree on 99% of everything, but there's one thing that just bugs them, and they say, nope, I don't want it. No, I'm not going to agree with that. No, let's just do something else. It's not going to happen. That's the spirit of division. He'll fester a resentment in somebody to make you hate somebody else, make you dislike somebody else, and not let you come into agreement. You see how that works? Now he's gotten so good at it and so proficient at it, now all it takes to start another church is resentment in the coffee pot. They might disagree on one verse in the Bible. No, you guys believe that. We don't want nothing to do with you. That's not following the wisdom of God. That's not following the gospel. You get chasing some stupid little rabbit trail off to the side, and you get completely discombobulated away from the gospel. Everything has to point to Jesus Christ and him crucified. Without the shed blood of Jesus, we have nothing. Our traditions that we've gotten from our forefathers, you might call that maybe the elders before us, or maybe, you know, they have conferences. Some people have conferences, and they come up with these ideas. And they say, okay, this is what we believe. So then all these other people say, okay, that's what we believe. That's good enough for me. That's stupid. That's stupid. I actually had a lady tell me one time, said, well, we just won't believe a verse in the Bible unless our conference tells us that's something that we need to believe in. I said, are you serious? No. She was a churchgoer, not a Christian. Yeah. Obviously not, because she married a Muslim. Look, we don't hate Muslims. We don't hate these other people. We hate the sin, but we don't hate the people. You see that? We don't hate gay people. We don't hate those people. We hate the sin. We love the people. Jesus loved the people. He hated the sin. He wanted them to be set free from the sin. But one of the biggest things that was holding people back in Jesus' time on this earth was their religious traditions. One thing that everybody has to do at some point in their life is lay everything that they believe out on the table and ask themselves, why do I believe this? And then match it up to the Word of God. And if it doesn't match up, then wipe it off. Get rid of it. One of the things I encountered was Easter. And, you know, that's just something that everybody celebrated every year. And all the churches did. And we'd have Easter eggs and Easter bunnies and all this other stuff. And I had to sit there and I'd say, why? What about all this stuff? So then I had to study that and find out where it came from and why I believed in it, why I celebrated it. And for the most part, it was just a pagan holiday. So I said, well, why don't I just celebrate Resurrection Sunday? Amen? Let's celebrate the resurrection, but not just one day a year. Let's celebrate the resurrection every day. Every day is fresh. You know, when Jesus came back to life, everything changed. Praise God. Now you can have resurrection every single day you celebrate the resurrection. It says His mercy and His grace are new every day. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. All right. Yeah, it's a funny thing about these little country churches. When you have 5 or 6 visitors, you have a revival. All right. Do we have any more prayer requests? You do. Yeah. Are they Christian, you know? Okay. Do you have a name? Okay. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over the Wood family, and we know that as children of God that we can look to you in eager expectation of receiving our needs met. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you'll cause grace and mercy and peace to fall on this family, that they'll find the favor of God in finding a new job and a new home. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, praise God. All right, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? The biggest thing about anything we do in the Bible is to release our faith. Do it in faith. It's so easy to fall into a religious rut. Just a tradition. It's something that you do. You know, and communion is one of those things that you can really fall into a rut with. You know, sometimes you'll run into people and say, well, that's just something that we do on the first Sunday of the month. Or that's just something that we do every Sunday. You know, it's just something that we do on a certain day. And God doesn't want anything to do with that. He wants you to take this communion. In fact, Jesus said to take this as often as you will. So you could take it once a month. You could take it once a week. You could take it once a day. You could take it three times a day. In fact, if your body gets attacked with something, I would suggest taking this two or three times a day. You know, if you went to the doctor and he told you you got to take this pill at 6 o'clock in the morning, at noon, and 6 o'clock at night, and you have to eat it with two bananas and a grapefruit, I bet you most people would take that pill at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock at noon, and 6 o'clock at night, and eat it with two bananas and a grapefruit. They put more confidence in the words of men than they do the word of God. Jesus said, take this as often as you will. Paul told us that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they do not discern the body of Christ. The way we discern the body of Christ is to look at that bread. Remember, Jesus said he is the bread of life. And see his sacrifice in that bread. See that sacrifice in his body. Literally, take some time to look at all the things that Jesus went through in his beatings, his scourgings, his trial, his walk to the cross, even getting on the cross and getting the sword thrust into his side. Look at all these things that happened during that sacrifice. Release your faith in that for your healing. You know, his body was beaten and bruised for us. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. When he took those stripes on his back, that was for our healing. And this bread, his body, has been pierced. Everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. And everywhere he shed blood, we get redemption in some area for us. And his body was broken. When he was on that cross, God laid the full wrath of his fiery judgment on Jesus. The judgment that was meant for us, he laid it on Jesus. He treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. So, Father, we're taking this for our healing, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that's ever been known to mankind. I would really strongly encourage you to do a specific study on the blood of Jesus. Find out everywhere the blood of Jesus was shed. Find out what kind of redemption we get in that area. You know, he shed blood out of his hands, out of his feet, out of his scalp, out of his back, out of his side. And we get freedom from that blood of Jesus. That blood of Jesus not only washed away our sins, but it made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, now you're in right standing with God, and because of the blood of Jesus, you can go boldly into his presence and receive mercy and grace in time of need. You don't have to clean yourself up to go into the presence of God. The blood of Jesus does that when you go to him. Did you see that? Too many people want to try to get right before they go to God, and they can't do it. They have to go to God and let him make you right. Amen? Thank you, Father. Well, all right, we're going to have children's church. Love you, Bubba. I'll see you in a little bit. We'll go get something to eat. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 says, "My son, forget not thy law, but let thy heart keep my commandments." Now here's the thing. We're not under the law. When you get born again, you get separated from the law. You get put under the grace of God. So what we meditate on is the words of Jesus. You know, we'll go into the New Testament and find these new creation realities. That's what we're to be meditating on now. In the Old Testament, they were supposed to meditate on the law. So we meditate on the words of Christ, the things that he said. Here's one thing it'll do for you. It says, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Length of days. Length of days. My friend, he was a pastor up home, and he had two nursing homes that he'd go visit. And he said it was kind of crazy because he'd go to the one in our county, and he'd go there and minister to these people, and said it was always gloomy and depressing and difficult. And then he'd go to this county above us and go to that nursing home, and he said it was a rocking good time. It was fun. Everything, it was always exciting, and it was happy, and it was a good place to be. And he said it took him a little while, and he figured out, he said, the county above us, that nursing home was filled full of Pentecostal people. They're just celebrating. They wore their bodies out enough where they couldn't stay at home no more, so they just went to the nursing home and they just kept celebrating. Praise God. And the length of days was added to them beyond measure. Some of them lived a long, long, long time. Every one of my aunts stayed hooked to the Bible and the Word of God, and every one of them lived plumb into their 90s. One of them, they called me and said, "Your aunt just celebrated her 70th wedding anniversary." Her and her husband, Bo, were still alive. But they stayed close to the Word of God. And length of days was added to them. I think maybe my uncle made it nearly to 100. Length of days are added to you. And long life and peace shall they add to you. Said, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Well, that's what happened to Jesus. He found favor in the sight of God and man. But Jesus meditated on his word. There's something about meditating on the Word. When you say it over and over and over, and you hear yourself say it, you say it out of your mouth, it gets into your ears, and it gets into your heart. And it changes you. You're not going to change God. Your meditation, your positive confessions are not going to change God's mind about you. But your meditations and your positive confessions will change your heart towards God. It'll open you up to receive from Him. Always understand this. As far as God's concerned, He has already freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. All things. That includes health, prosperity, peace, security, strength. What do you need? He's given it to you. And He gave you the key to meditate on His Word day and night. So it'll get in your heart so that you'll come to believe it, and then you'll confess what you believe with your mouth, and you'll believe you received it before you see it. And that's the recipe. That's how we receive absolutely everything we're going to need from heaven. The same way you got born again is the same way you're going to receive anything else in life. In verse 5, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." This is confusing for a lot of people. Trust in the Lord and lean not unto your own understanding. How are we going to do that? The doctor says you got the Mongolian toe warts. You got 3 weeks to get your life in order, get your affairs in order. So what are you going to do? Most people run home and get their affairs in order, and they talk to their best friend and their sister-in-law, and they say, "Well, I knew somebody had the Mongolian toe warts. You're toast." And they believe the number. The doctor said, "You got 3 weeks." And they'll believe the number. And they'll meditate on that number. And they could be doing really, really good for 2.5 weeks. But it seems like they'll decline fast enough to meet that 3-week deadline. I don't know how many times I've seen that. I've seen people that look like, you know, they could do this. You know, you can do this. But they believed that number the doctor gave them, and that last couple weeks they'll decline super, super fast. God says, "With a long life will He satisfy you and show you His salvation." So are we going to believe God, or are we going to believe man? We got a choice. Every day we're faced with choices. I don't know if you've noticed, but this country's in a financial mess. This would be a very good time to believe God and not man. God said He would supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But people have their faith in their IRAs. They have their faith in their retirement accounts. They have their faith in the money they have in the stock market. I'm telling you, that's man's idea. God's idea is He will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This is a challenge, I'm telling you. But everybody is going to be faced with this at some point. It's getting woefully close. We're going to have to decide, are we going to depend on God, or are we going to depend on man? Are we going to depend on the wisdom of the world, or are we going to depend on the wisdom of God? He said to trust in the Lord with all your heart. I mean, you're going to have to just get rid of any reservations. See, God is the only way out of this. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Here's a good way. I can't remember the address to this verse, but you've all heard that there's a time and chance and all this. That verse said, now that leaves it with the way they wrote that verse down, it leaves it like there's a shot at luck. But that's not the way that verse is supposed to be down. He said, we believe, we ask God to protect us. Ask God to protect us. Tell Him that we need His protection. So that we can be in the right place at the right time to receive right happenings in our life, because our high priest Jesus is always at the right hand of God making intercession for us, praying for us. Ask Him to protect you. Tell Him how much you need His protection, and then go about your day expecting good things to happen to you. Amen? It says, be not wise in your own eyes. This is the hard part for a lot of people. A lot of people have spent a lot of time in higher education facilities. I call them incubation centers for indoctrination. The universities. I've seen some pretty normal people leave my hometown and go to the university, and they come back bona fide idiots. They may be smart as far as what they learned in the books, but they've lost it. They're wise in their own understanding, completely ignorant to the things of God. They'll believe absolutely everything a professor tells them, and not anything a preacher may tell them. I know you was the biggest drunk in town, in the county. You was terrible. And now you're a preacher? Yeah. It's the wisdom of God. It's the power of the gospel. Get over it. Here's the truth. Jesse Duplantis, he was a complete wild man. He was a rock singer, rock star. Did you know that? He was a rock star. Long hair. Now he's got a huge church in Louisiana. And he preaches the power of the cross to get people set free. Our job as Christians is to tell people how the power of the cross sets you free, and it'll set your neighbor free. It'll set your friend free. Amen? Don't worry. Do not worry about what's happening in this country right now. Do not worry. Jesus said, do not worry. Celebrate the resurrection of life. Celebrate the power of the cross. We're going to get through this. It's going to be a little bit messy for a little bit, but we're going to get through this. And it's going to be really, really good. I don't know how long it's going to take, but it's going to be great. You do have a part in this. The words of your mouth are seeds that you're sowing. Sow positive seeds, sow good seeds, sow God seeds. Pray And for God's sake, whatever you do, vote. Vote. Show up and vote. It's irritating when people say, well, nothing ever changes. I go vote and they steal my vote. Here, I'm going to tell you something that happened in Arizona. They had poll watchers show up. They had drop box watch parties. There'd be 8 or 10 people out there in lawn chairs watching the drop boxes so they couldn't cheat. And they voted. They showed up in so many people voted that they couldn't cheat. That's what we need to do. We can overwhelm the devil. Did you know that? We can overwhelm the devil. But you got to get off your butt and get down and do something. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us on a daily basis. We thank you for your death, your burial, your resurrection, and everything that your salvation has given to us. That shed blood of Jesus and his stripes on his back for our healing. That shed blood of Jesus for our protection and our freedom. And the Holy Spirit who has come to dwell in us, to teach us and guide us, show us how to rightfully divide your word. We praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.